You know, the word amen really means let it be, or I agree. And this first song is called All the People Say Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. Let's come as we start our service and be in agreement with each other that we were so thankful for God's love and that we want his holy presence to rest on this place. Amen this morning? So let's sing this out. Just want us to proclaim this morning that there's times when we need the Lion of Judah, and there's also times we need to be reminded that he is the Lamb, that he is the pure and perfect sacrifice for our own sins, and that it's only by his mercy that we are saved. Amen. So let's sing this out.
Bow before him. Our God is alive.
This next song uses a term that, you know, typically we don't, when we speak of God's love, that we don't describe it as this or hear it described as this. But, you know, when we think about it in our human terms, and our idea of love is so much weaker than God's idea of love. And in our eyes, his love might seem reckless, right? And that word, like I said, is not a typical word that you describe God as being reckless. But in our eyes, we can't really understand or grasp why, as humans, he would love us. We fail him. We don't listen. We sin. We frustrate him. Yet his love is always there, no matter what. And in our eyes, it seems kind of reckless that he would choose to do that to us, for us, and not be able to understand it really. But if you guys know this song, just sing it out.
Till I'm found.
there's just something about that name, amen? When you hear the name of Jesus, if you truly know him, that should resonate in your soul, that is a name of power, a name of love, a name of mercy and grace. So let's sing this out.
I am so glad that you guys came today. You know, I know that it's been frustrating. We said that we weren't booking seats, so we didn't. How many people feel good about that? Woo! I want to encourage you that as the days go on and regulations still change in flux, you don't need to book a seat to come. So if you have somebody who may be in need, who you may say they look a little bit concerned, or maybe their anxiety seems to be high, invite them to church, right? If you know you can do that on the spur of the moment, even on Sunday morning, just go ahead and do that. We'll take names at the door just so that Health Canada has those things. I'll be glad in 2 weeks if it changes where we won't have to wear our masks unless you're comfortable, right? Because I'm not comfortable wearing my mask, and that's okay. I've been wearing my mask for a year and a half now. I'll be really glad the day that I don't have to. That being said, we want everybody to be comfortable. Right? So you'll notice that this side of the church over here, we have a little more spacing, and we want people to feel comfortable. If you are comfortable with a mask, wear your mask. Please do that. We want everybody to come to church and feel comfortable. Amen? And if you say, hey, we've been hanging out with family, and we've been staying a little closer, and we all want to sit in the same row, then you stay on this side. And I want us to respect each other and have a place of unity. Amen? So welcome to church today. You know, it's been kind of interesting. We've been thinking about where are we heading. And of course, I thought that we were going to be a little more open today. And I was kind of saying, this is wonderful. Let's start a new series. And then halfway through the week, they said, you're not opening. And I went, yeah, we are, but we're going to have to jump through a few more hoops. And again, I don't know about you, if you've been frustrated, but I have been frustrated with some of those changing things. You know, we're living in a world that is very fearful right now, aren't we? And COVID. And how many of you are tired of listening to the news? Whew, you know what? How many are praising the Lord the election will be over on Monday? Wow. You know what? If it went any longer, I'm sure I would have started drinking again, and that wouldn't have been good for nobody. Right? Again, as a Wesleyan pastor, I don't do that, but it's one of those things that I was considering. If I had to listen to one more politician tell me what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, and this, it's just like it's on a replay. They don't say anything new. They won't answer any questions, and I get so frustrated with politics. But I've also been frustrated with the negativity of the election, yes, but also of the news, right? I told Kirtland this week, I said there's a couple of days that I just had to turn off the news because I was so sick of listening to all the gross stories and all the fear. And you know, again, I search the world and I have people that I keep in contact with, and I've been listening to a lot of information that is really not getting out there to the public because the narrative has not changed. It's all the same. Fear, 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 fear. And it's no wonder people are exhausted. You can't live in that kind of a climate and not get tired, right? And not feel down. It is darkness, darkness, darkness on display. And it was amplified to me this year at the Lobster Bash. Of course, we had been a year since we had done the Lobster Bash. For those of us on the committee, we have a few people that have passed that used to be part of our committee in the dream of the Lobster Bash. So last year, when the Lobster Bash was canceled, we didn't have a chance to grieve. As a group, we always grieve. As it's a celebration of life and a celebration of the industry. But for us, it's also a time where we as a committee grieve the loss of those friends that helped us start the Lobster Bash. And so this year, because we had had a whole year off from it, one of the committee members said, you know what, we should really do something special for the fireworks. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we've been missing it. It's a celebration, and some people who are comfortable are going to come out, and I think people are ready to try to live again. He said, you know what? We lost somebody else in our committee that we know or it's close to our committee, and we said, why don't we dedicate the fireworks to all those who have been lost during COVID, and we'll start off the show by having some fireworks go off one of the boats, and we're going to honor the crew of the Chief William Solis. And all of us said, that makes sense, because this is a time for us to grieve. Yeah, let's do that. Let's see what we do. So how many of you saw the fireworks? It was beautiful this year, wasn't it? Oh, it was amazing. And we celebrated, and it was a perfect end to a wonderful weekend. But what happened after, I wasn't prepared for. For the next half hour to 45 minutes, I had people coming up to me with tears in their eyes, thanking us for dedicating the fireworks to those who had been lost. And something so simple amplified to me that, you know what, there are so many people that are exhausted and tired, and they haven't been able to grieve, and they feel stuck. And so I'd ask them, I'd say, how are you doing? And the answer always came back the same. They said, you know what, Andrew, I feel like I'm just existing. I'm just existing. And I said, well, you know what? I hope this weekend has encouraged you. Because you know what? God wants us to do more than just exist. And I want you to know as believers that we should be careful, because as we visit this desert place, there are times we need to go through the desert before we get to the promised land. Amen? And there's times when the darkness will settle in, but we have one that never leaves our side. And more than existing, you know what? We need to keep living. When the world is numb, we should shine bright like the stars in the heavens. When the world is focused on fear, we should walk like lions. And you know, in those moments when I'm frustrated, I do my best to make it only a moment. And I want to encourage you that this has been going on for a long, long time. If you've had a bad day or two, you can do that. If you had moments of frustration, I want you to know that that's appropriate. But I refuse to live in those bad moments. And I refuse to live in that frustration, because while I may have some bad days, when those bad days come, you know what I do? I act accordingly. When the bad days come, I stop listening to the news. When the bad days come, I stop listening to all the platforms of the politicians. When the bad days come, I focus on my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords, and I refuse to let the darkness be my standard. Why? Because God wants me to keep living. How many of you have ever seen the movie Secondhand Lions? Isn't that an amazing movie? It's kind of one of those fun movies. Anyway, Allison and I, like everybody else, because of lockdowns, over the last year and a half, you've had more TV time maybe than you should, right? Like I told you guys the other day, Ella went off to university, and she was the one who regularly walked the dog, right? So I was looking at Zoe the other day, and I was looking to the side, and I said, "You got a great big gut on you now." I was talking to the dog. Well, the reason I had to look to the side, because my gut was covering her. So I looked around my own belly, and I was making fun of her belly. And every time you used to say, "Do you want to go for a walk?" her ears would perk up, and she'd sit up. So I said, "You want to go for a walk?" And she just rolled over. Right? And I was thinking about that. I said, sometimes we've had a little bit too much TV time. But I told Allison, I said, "I really want to look on Cineplex this next week, and I want to watch this movie, Secondhand Lions." For those of you who have never seen it, it's the story of Garth and Hub. Garth and Hub are two brothers who have kind of been bachelors, and they've lived in solitude all of their life, and they've had these crazy stories of adventures that they would share together. Well, one day their nephew, Walter, shows up on their porch. And Walter's just a little feller. He's been abandoned by his mother, and now it's left to the task of the two brothers to raise this young man. And pretty soon, Walter starts to think, you know what? These two are nuts. They start telling him stories of adventures that are so over the fence that there's no way that they could be true. They start telling him stories and adventures about this rich sheik that they've had this great big conflict with all of their life. And he said, "Man, these guys are a little off the wall." And he understood what they were doing. He said, "They're trying to give me life lessons, but these stories are so outlandish. There's no way that they could be true." And so all of his life, he dealt with his uncles telling him these great big stories. Well, as Walter finally grows and gets out on his own, he gets word one day that his uncles have passed. But it's not that they died in their sleep, right? He hears that they were flying in like a Red Baron two-seater open plane and flew into the barn upside down and both died in a spectacular way. And he's saying, "No way. Like, this can't be true. These guys have always been way over the top." So he goes back to the family farm, and what does he find? He finds a plane upside down laying in the barn, and he's going, "This is a crazy way to die." And while he's there, this helicopter comes up over the hill. And he's going, "What in the world is going on?" And the helicopter comes down out of the sky, and all of a sudden the door opens, and this Arab man walks out of the helicopter with a little Arab boy, and Walter is confused. And the gentleman looks over, and he says, "It's true. They're really gone." And he says, "Excuse me, who are you?" And he said, "We were in New York, and we heard that these two men had passed, and I had to come and see it for myself." And Walter says, "Who in the world are you?" He said, "My grandfather told me great stories of these two men." He said, "Your grandfather?" And he said, "Yes, he's a great baron, oil baron. He's a sheik." And Walter all of a sudden comes to the realization that these stories weren't far-fetched. And here's a gentleman who heard those same stories from another side of the world. And he said, "I came with my son, my grandfather's great-grandson, to honor these two men." And he said, "It is true. It is true. They really did live." And Walter, in that moment, realizes that every story was not a tall tale. Every unbelievable story had been true. And he looks at the young oil baron and he says, "Yes, they really did live." You know, when I heard those people at the fireworks and I asked them and I said, "How are you doing?" And they said, "Andrew, it just feels like I'm existing." I want you to know that God longs for so much more than you just existing. Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God longs for you to live. Surely his goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, I want to remind you today that he is your strong fortress. I want to remind you today that he is your shelter, that he is your dwelling place. I want to remind you today, church, that he is the rock upon which you can build, that he can be your hope, that he should be your peace. I want to remind you that in him you're secure, in him you're saved, in him you're loved, in him you are blessed and forgiven and sanctified. And I want you to know, church, today that all of heaven sings over you. You should be doing way more than just existing. You see, we all have a reason to rejoice, and I don't want us to settle for existing. I want you to know that God has made you for so much more, so just keep living. I want to share with us as we start this series a passage from Peter. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, I believe that all of God's words are timeless. Amen? That the scriptures are relevant for today, amen? It's not for way back when. This was written for you and I because his words are timeless. And as I read this, I want you to really put yourself into the setting of this last year and a half of chaos, this last year and a half of changing regulations, of lockdowns, of being threatened, of fining, being fined, and even, you know what, we're gonna take you away. I want you to put all that into perspective and listen to Peter. Listen. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for the godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what they have been cleansed from their past sins. This scripture, guys, is one of those beautiful scriptures, but I think of it in the light of what we have been living. Do you know that he says that grace is yours? How many people need some grace this morning? How many of you know that you need some grace tomorrow too? Right? What is grace? Grace is this idea of getting what we don't deserve. We all need that. Because at moments we are frustrated. At moments we have bad days. At moments our faith is fragile. And we all need grace. Well, here we all of a sudden we see Peter saying that we have grace, but not just grace, we have it in abundance. You have grace in abundance. So why? So that you can live this divine nature and be effective and productive in Jesus Christ. So think about that, church. In the midst of a global pandemic, global chaos, this is not just Canada where people are getting frustrated. Right? The news doesn't show you that. But there's demonstrations all over the world where people are really frustrated with ever-changing regulations and control measures. And so this is global chaos. And guess what? You as a believer have been given everything you need in the chaos to live a godly life. You as a believer, think about this, has been given abundant grace so that you can be effective and productive in the midst of these dark days. That while the world is falling apart, you as a believer get to participate in a divine nature. Divine. That even with all of the mess that is happening, you can add to your faith. You can add what? You can add goodness. You can add knowledge. That you're to be adding self-control and perseverance. That you are to be adding godliness and mutual affection. That you are to be adding love. So let me ask you, in the midst of this storm, and the longer it goes on, I understand the harder it is, are you living a life of victory? And again, you are allowed to have bad days, but God made you for more than just existing. He made you to keep living. Are you living that godly life? Because that verse that Peter wrote reminds us that we have everything we need for those things to be fulfilled in us. You guys know that I enjoy Mark Buchanan. He's a writer. He was a pastor out in BC. He took a job in Central Canada, and he started being a professor. He stopped writing, so I'm kind of mad at him. He doesn't care because he doesn't know who I am, but I'm still mad at him. Right, I want him to write more. Anyway, he used this one illustration one time, and he was talking about the church and how sometimes we're not very effective. And he used this illustration, and it has always stuck with me. He said, suppose that you've been given everything you need for a beautiful home and life. So he said, you could choose any piece of land that you would want, and it would be given to you. It would be cleared. That view could be yours. The deed would be in your name. Suppose then that somebody came along and you were to design a house with that architect, and when the time you were done and you were satisfied and you'd made all the changes that you wanted to make, that architect gave you the whole plan. And more than that, then they made a call and all the material to fulfill that plan would be delivered to that site. And suppose that you had been given the time off to build your dream home on your dream land, and it would be in your name. Suppose all of that was to happen, and then you did nothing. He said, what would happen? Well, pretty soon the land that had been cleared would start to grow up again. Pretty soon, the rain would fall, and it would mix with the bags of cement, and they would become useless blocks, and the wood would start to rot, and the permits may blow away or even run out. He said, if you did nothing, even though you'd been given everything, how foolish would you be? And then he said, as I look around the Christian world, I see many people of faith who have been given everything they need, and yet they sit and do nothing. It is foolishness. And you and I are to be on guard. Living in a land of despair, yes, but given everything we need, oh, that we would do something. That while the world focuses on the darkness, we are to be the light. Yesterday was a busy day for me. I had to go over to a volunteer ceremony. I already told you about that. It wasn't a banquet because banquets feed me. Little false advertising. So I go in there and I find out that it's a ceremony. And one of the reasons that I went over there is because Al Dupuy was actually getting one of the volunteers of the year for the community. And Al and I have a very peculiar relationship. If you know Al, you'll know that he's a little bit of an odd duck and he thinks outside the box, but that's what I like about him. And so Al was there, and of course, Al got up to accept his award, but he had a speech, right? And he said, I'm just going to move this podium over here to the middle. I've got a few words to say. And I knew what was coming. It was going to be long, right? And I love that. So I'm sitting there, and people were gasping for air, and they're going, it's getting hot in here. Al didn't care. It was Al's moment. And he started off by saying, you know what? Volunteers are different. And everybody who knew Al, Al's different, right? And I started to giggle at the back, and I'm going, this is going to be great, right? And he says, volunteers are different. And he said, you all make a difference, but you're all very different. And what is different about you? As the teacher he is. He says, what is different about you? Well, you are different because you don't think of yourself. You're different because you choose to think of others, and that's what's changing our community. And I was going, preach it, brother. Right? Al and I have some great conversations about God. And I try to straighten out some of his thoughts, and he tries to challenge me on some of mine, but we couldn't agree more than we did yesterday that, yes, we are made to think of others first. And I was saying, you know what? That's what's so foreign in our world, that those principles of faith are very different than the principles of our world, aren't they? When we look around this world, we see different values. God says, if you want freedom, what do? You need to surrender. That's foreign to our world. God says, if you want to be great, then first you should become small. It sounds so foreign to our world. If you want to rule, then you need to learn to serve. And if you really want to live, Jesus says, you need to be ready to lay your life down. And while Al was talking, I was thinking about the kingdom of heaven, and I said, the kingdom of heaven opposes the kingdoms of earth. The kingdom of heaven is so different than the kingdoms that try to rule us here. That, you know what, God's ways seem so backward to our earthly ways, but isn't that why our faith is so beautiful? This passage today, Peter addresses it in this way. He's talking to you and I. That's who he's writing to. He says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. To those of you who've received a faith that is precious, think about that. Because that hasn't been the focus of the last year and a half for the world at all, right? Your faith is a precious gift. Another thing that I did yesterday, I went from there, and it was funny because Al was going to the same thing, but we both ran off to a funeral. He was singing, I was preaching, right? And I was going, hey, isn't it fancy seeing you here? And Al said, I knew you were coming. And I said, I knew you were coming too. But this funeral yesterday was for a lady who lived an outstanding life of faith. And it was interesting because as I got to tell her story, she had a very hard life. It was filled with many challenges. And yet through it all, she was focused on her King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She was cherishing her precious faith. She had to raise two boys alone. And it was hard. She changed her vocation several times in order to do that and to get them through school. And there were so many struggles financially, so many struggles when it came to work. And her life was not easy. And then to make matters worse, at 59 years old, she gets cancer that's going to kill her. And all the while, despite all of the challenges, her focus was her faith. And it was interesting because the family, they talked about going and visiting her and going and to read the Word of God and even bringing a guitar and singing in those last moments. And all the while, she would stop. She'd say, everybody stop! When she'd come to, and everybody would stop and sniffle and dry their nose. And she said, would you stop crying? She's going, this is not sad. This is what I have been waiting for. My faith says that soon I will be in the arms of my Savior, and how dare you cry? And the family sniffled a bit and shut up and felt a little guilty, and then they started singing again. And I said, you know what? That is beautiful. The precious faith that she had was so incredible to her that she didn't think of losing this world or this life. She knew that the life in the world to come was way more precious. Beautiful. Beautiful. Peter calls our faith precious. He uses that word precious. In the Greek, it's isotimos. And the root of isotimos is timios, and it's used to describe precious gems like diamonds or rubies, right? So think about that. Peter is saying that your faith should be cherished and desired in all of the world. It should be valued. It's precious. I want to ask you today, is your faith precious to you? Because when the world is falling apart, which it is, we've already been given everything we need in this precious faith that is ours. Church, can I ask you a very serious question? What more do you need than salvation today? What more do you need? That we have an opportunity to walk with a God who promises to walk through the storms with us, who promises an eternal home with wonders that we cannot fathom. That's precious. A couple of years ago, you guys know that I got to visit the Ukraine. And this was right after kind of communism had gone, so I've always been fascinated with that region. Anyway, Steve Wilson, I read his story about when he first visited the Ukraine. It was in the early 90s, like me. And he was saying, you know what, there were so many things that happened over there that was persecution to the church that the church over here in North America had no idea what was going on. And he had one particular gentleman who started coming to his congregation, and he was such an incredible man. He was always so positive, and he couldn't help but notice the first time he met him, he kind of had a stump, a twisted stump for an arm. And you know, as he started to preach to this man and talk with this man, he understood that his faith was very, very deep. And he could see that there was scars on the nub of what used to be an arm on the stump. There was scars. And he kind of said, well, obviously he's had some surgery there, so I want to ask him what happened one time. So as he got to know the man, he said, sir, I can't help but notice your stub. And he said, I want to ask you about that. He said, was it ripped off in a farming accident? Like, what happened? Did you get a disease in there and they had to amputate? I'm just curious what happened with your stub. And the man said, oh, he said, Steve. He said, a few years ago when we were a communist country, he said, you know, my faith was a threat to the government. And Steve kind of said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you've noticed my faith. He says, yes, I think you're a wonderful man. He said, well, the government didn't think so. In fact, my faith was getting the attention of my town. And because of my faith, then I was arrested. He goes, you were arrested? He said, just a few years ago, I was arrested. I was put in jail. And you know what they did? The very first day that I was in jail, they came to me and they held out my hand and they said, you deny Jesus Christ or we're going to cut off your finger. And Steve was horrified. He said, what did you do? He said, that was the day I lost my finger. And he said, then they brought in the doctor. And they made sure that there was no infection. And they made sure that the hand would heal right. And they waited till the hand was healed and held me in prison. And when everything was set, they came back again. And they said, now, you deny Christ or we're going to cut off another finger. And he said, I suppose you lost another finger that day. He said, yes, I did. He said, for the next few years, he said, I lost my fingers, I lost my thumb, I lost my hand, I lost my wrist, I lost my elbow, until I was finally left with this stump. And he said, then what happened? He said, then communists fell and I met you. In that moment, Steve went, wow. He said, may I ask you a very personal question? He said, yes, you can. And Steve said, what does that stump mean to you? And he said, this stump is just a reminder of the goodness of God. Steve's mind was blown. He said, your faith was more precious than a finger. He said, my faith was more precious than anything. He said, and that stump reminds me of how precious my faith is. A faith more precious than diamonds and rubies, a faith more costly than gold. And guess what? His divine power has given you everything you need to live a godly life and to embrace that precious faith. Just keep living. Just keep living. Everybody bow your heads. You know, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to try to challenge you to do just that, to keep living. But I want you to know that this has been way too long. The chaos, the lockdowns, and everything else, I get it if you feel overwhelmed. I get it if you feel like your strength is gone. And I want to remind you, church, that it's okay to have a few bad days, but adjust accordingly. Why? Because you've been given everything you need to live a godly life. That your faith is precious. And I hope that you would embrace that beautiful gift from heaven. And that while the world is broken, we would not remain broken. That while the world is focused on darkness, we would be the light. You've been given everything you need, so just keep living. I want to pray for you. Father God, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for these timeless words that were given to us by the Holy Spirit through your servant Peter. I want to say thank you that when the world around us seems to be falling apart, that's when we can increase in our faith. That's when we add to it. That, Lord, we have this precious gift that is more important than anything that we will ever face. And, Lord, that your light can shine through us in the darkest of times. That, Lord, it's when you are all that we have, we realize that you are all that we need. Father God, I pray that you would prepare your church. You'd prepare your church. I believe that days are short. Prepare us. Father God, will we be found watching and waiting like you've asked? I pray that we would be tuning our ears for the sound of the trumpet. Because, Father God, I don't think that the world... it's going back to normal soon, and that's okay because this world is not our home. Father God, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and I pray that we would live accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen.